ABC Radio Australia.
Well, early in the week, we brought you the story on the upcoming referendum in Vanuatu, where overseas polling stations in Australia, New Zealand and Fiji are on track for Vanuatu citizens to cast their vote on May 29th. The aim of the referendum is to address the problem of political instability, which has been caused by members of parliament switching their party allegiances. But former Prime Minister Ismail Kausakau is not happy with the change and wants the upcoming referendum deferred to next year so the public can have their say. So joining us this morning to explain more on this matter is Vanuatu's former Prime Minister and Leader in Opposition, Ismail Kausakau. With that, I say welcome to the show, Olsen Wanam.
Thank you, Olsen Wanam. Something right? Good morning to you all.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us this morning. As we get straight into it, I mean, why are you really wanting the referendum to be delayed till next year? Because, you know, at this moment, it looks like it's just still going to go ahead.
Yes, I believe the government is adamant that it should proceed. It isn't that I'm against it. It's just that I've been touring some of the islands, and I've even been to New Zealand and even around my constituency in Port Vila, and people are just not really appreciative of the fact that there is a prospect on the 29th of May that their fundamental rights under the Constitution will be restricted by those amendments.
Mm. So what in the referendum is it actually asking the community to vote on? Because that possibly, I know there's two amendments, but is that what the community are not fully aware of?
Well, the first is in relation to membership of political parties. If a person is elected to Parliament as a member of a political party, that is where he must stay and remain until the next elections. And if he was intent upon throughout that period citing a motion against the government in power or in which he's a member, or against his or her president, then that person should have his seat vacated, and it is returned to the citizens to vote for a new candidate. It is premised on the foundation that it'll keep members of parliament grounded, and that they must follow the structure within their political parties, and not be able to be able to express views contrary to the leadership that they belong to. And if you agree to that proposition, then obviously you're voting yes to restrict your rights so that it will enable that stability to last up to the next elections. Now, the second amendment is in relation to independent members of parliament who must affiliate with an existing political party the minute they get into parliament and remain in that affiliation until the end of the 4 years, and be prohibited from exercising any right to express frustration in the regime of that political party who could be the next prime minister. And if they do so, within that four-year period, they lose the seats.
Mm. Mr. Kausakau, let's sort of maybe get into that a little bit more, because a lot of this is political instability. Countless times we've seen, you know, change of leadership in prime ministerial roles, and they say these law changes will bring in a new era of political stability. Fair assessment?
Well, we've received advice from the State Law Office to the contrary, and a lot of these leaders are approaching citizens, notifying them that the amendments won't stop instability, but it's some sensible direction in their view towards making sure that members of parliament stay grounded. My view is to enable people to appreciate why these amendments are taking place. Is it just members of parliament inside parliament? And if that is the case, why is it affecting the rights of citizens? Are there any other avenues available to people to look at before we contemplate a restriction of fundamental rights under the Constitution? Or what is it? What is the actual root cause of instability? If you look at our history back from 1983, 87, 91, and 95 up to today, it's all about power struggles. If you're a president of a political party, you can become the next prime minister. There is no end of a person being a president of a political party and no end to a person being a prime minister. And this is the what's causing the friction that's enabling leaders to, and members of parliament like to have recourse to their rights under the Constitution. And I've been walking around my constituency and the proposal is, well, why don't we deal with those issues first before we look at tampering with our rights under the Constitution. And it's, for me, it's a fair comment. And that's why I'm suggesting that the Electoral Commission should be visiting people, explaining to them what these amendments entail, and listen to their views. And because it is a referendum, it isn't something that will be revisited in a period of 4 years, that it needs to be dealt with quite meticulously and in such a way that has an appreciation that people are restricting their fundamental rights under the Constitution for a real purpose and not just motivations that are instigated by politics itself.
Yeah, well, I mean, these reforms were passed, you know, in Parliament back in December 2023. Do you think they just were drafted up too quickly without proper consultation?
Well, consultation previously, after 1980, was getting a group of people in a room in Port Vila somewhere or in Santo and identifying them as members of civil society and getting their views, and then having a bill traversed to Parliament. Well, this is it's all fair and well if you're dealing with a normal bill or an act of Parliament. But when it comes to a referendum under the Constitution, the last time there was a referendum in New Hebrides was prior to 1980, where, you had public servants, teachers, police officers visiting all the Nakamals and the Nasaras around Vanuatu, explaining to them what people would be expecting out of this freedom. And everybody understood what was before them. That's why the majority of the population opted for independence. Now, let's not rush this one. Let's if a referendum in some of these countries, the last one in Australia was about 2 years. The one in Bougainville was 4 years. The New Caledonian question was in excess of 11 years. Preparation. Why are we rushing to an amendment of the Constitution that will deal with restriction of rights that have been conferred on people as a result of the country becoming independent? And it was a requirement by the United Nations Committee of 24 on Independence that Vanuatu had to have that code and Bill of Rights in the Constitution intact as a condition or prerequisite to becoming independent. So now, 44 years later, we could be accused of tampering with those rights to negatively against the citizens in a matter that concerns just members of Parliament frolicking in Parliament in a manner that could be resolved by other means.
Thank you for that. If you've just tuned in, we're speaking to Vanuatu's former Prime Minister Ishmael Kasakal on the upcoming referendum. It is set for May 29th. Mr. Kosakau, you sit in the opposition. There have been reports of people really asking, who is the actual opposition leader right now? Because there seems to be even a block of MPs appearing that they may want to get even Gracia Cedric as opposition leader. What are your thoughts on this?
Yes, well, I mean, we're not adverse to any attempt to have a change in the leadership in the opposition. Of course, none of us wanted this job. I went into the opposition at a time where everybody was running into government and the positions were had become vacant. So we assumed those positions. We're working as a current opposition group. Now there's a group that's just come into the opposition, claiming they represent the majority. Some of those members of parliament are still inclusive of Gracia Cedric, still driving around in government vehicles. They've got people working in government as part of the coalition arrangements. And you know, you first of all, you can't have one foot in the government and one foot in the opposition. And secondly, do it properly. Approach, have a meeting called, and have a vote taken. And we can see in who will be the popular leader. And of course, you know, the state law office is advised on that process. And it was just ignored. So this is why I've suggested in the past that, you know, let's just wait for it. But in fact, I inform you that as of last evening, I've already resigned as the opposition leader. I'm not going to be involved in any struggle for leadership. If somebody else thinks they can do a better job, then let them try. And I've made the seat available for them to occupy as of this morning onwards. Let's see if they can do a better job than we can. And, you know, good on them if they can, but let's do everything properly.
Well, I have to ask then, is there someone that you are thinking would be suitable for that position then?
Just anyone that the members of the opposition elect to become the next leader, in view of the fact that I've just resigned.
Now, I have to ask, Mr. Kosakau, as we wrap up, we do realise, you know, if there's anyone who wants to see stability, you know, within the government, is your community. If you're still going to be an MP, what are the current or urgent issues that need to be addressed, though?
Well, I mean, you know, the question is, what's going to be achieved by these amendments? The proposition is to keep individual members of parliament grounded, but you know the question is where in Vanuatu history has an independent person through their movement become the next prime minister after you know a bout of instability? So what we also need to address is what happens to presidents. Who send their members to sign motions of no confidences, and then just to gain an advantage to negotiate for the next leadership. Where does that leave the people? Because we will be seeing is the game remains the game remains the same, but. Only that the party's changed. So what do you do in those circumstances?
I do have to ask, is there a message, though, as you step away from that position, what is your message moving forward?
Well, I mean, the question that for me that is of more import than the constitutional amendment is will the people be served? At all, and how can we get to a situation where we can hold members of parliament accountable to their voters throughout a four-year period instead of just waiting for the end of 4 years for people to, because we come from a fragmented country where 80% of the population is still they lack the normal savvy to identify between who's a good member of parliament or not. So how can we come up with checks on members of parliament to keep them responsible and accountable to their voters? And for me, that is of more importance than the issues that are the subject of this referendum.